Well, I for one, am really glad to have Miss Lynette back. Amen. She got her brace and all, but she's here. But she's doing really well, and her physical therapy is going really good. So she's ready to go. You know, you ever think about today? Today. Possibilities exist today. You know, what God can do now, today. There's something about that if you just think about it for a minute. Not yesterday, it's gone. Not tomorrow. You may not even be here. But today, this very moment is filled with divine possibilities. You know, God is not a God of someday. He's the God of right now. You know, sometimes people miss it because they think he isn't moving. But God is moving all the time. It's because they get distracted or they're too rushed to stop and listen, or they just become spiritually dull, you know. Now somebody say, how can that happen? That can happen very easy. All you have to do is quit reading the word and quit praying, and before you know it, you'll be spiritually dull. You know, in athletics, if you're injured and you come back from an injury, how many of you have ever played athletics and been injured? When you come back from an injury, you're not at the point you were when you got hurt. You have to get back in the groove and get back to that point. And that's what happens to a lot of people spiritually. They let down on their Bible reading and their prayer life and even coming to church, and they get spiritually dull. And then when things start going wrong, they're not ready to perform. So that happens. But I came to tell you today that God is here today, working right now. Say today. But now before we talk about what God can do today, we got to understand what today is. Today is very valuable. It's a gift from God. Psalms 118:24. I said it three times because I see people looking on their device, and that takes a minute, and then people turn in hard pages in the Bible. All right. This is the day the Lord has made. We will be sad in it. We will rejoice and be glad in it. You know, you get up in the morning, it's just another day. No, it's not. This is the day that God has designed. Every day you get up is the day that God has designed. This is the day that the Lord hath made. And that means that you intentionally get up every day understanding that today is filled with purpose. Today is filled with opportunity. You know, somebody could hand you a gift. It's all wrapped up and looks pretty. But instead of opening it, you're carrying it around. You got a gift, but you got to do something to find out about that gift. You got a gift that today the Lord has given it to you. Quit just holding on to it, but get involved in today with God. You know, when you wake up in the morning, instead of rushing into your routine, and don't look at me like that, every one of you, like myself, has a routine you follow when you get up every morning. Am I right or wrong? First thing I do is I fix me a cup of coffee. Well, my wife says I fix coffee in sugar and cream. But because I didn't drink coffee till I started drinking coffee because she did, so she needed somebody to drink coffee with her. But and then I go and prepare myself, take a shower, get ready, shave, fix my hair, what there is to fix. And it seems to get less every day. But that's life, so it doesn't bother me. I had really thick black hair until I went in the Army. And after I was in the Army for 3 years wearing those caps, I don't know, but I started losing my hair when I come out of the Army. And I started getting these. And somebody said, bother you? No, it didn't bother me. That's just life. Forgive. I'm just going, I'm me. I don't care whether I got all my hair. Don't have no hair at all. You know, everybody got to get to a point where it don't make them no difference. You know, you ought to lift your voice and say, God, what's on for today? What's happening today? Because every day has something designed for you that God wants you to accomplish every day. You know, sometimes we're so busy doing what we normally do that we miss it when he's trying to talk to us. You know, he doesn't come up and bang you up beside the head and say, listen to me. You know, now I don't know what would happen in today, but when I was playing football in high school, when I played, we only had one bar right across here like this, back in the 50s, you know, and we didn't have all that padding in the helmet either. So we had a sort of a web up here and some cheek pads. But the coach, he would either grab you by the shoulder pads or he might grab you by the face mask and say, listen to what I'm saying. This is what I want you to do. God don't do that. He speaks with that small voice on the inside, and sometimes it's just an impression. We need to learn how to be sensitive to God every moment of every day. You know, now, it gets me into my next point. Today is the day to hear God's voice. John 10:27. I'll say it again. John 10:27. Okay? Do I need to say it again? I see some people still turning. So I'll say it. John 10:27. Okay? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Hello? You know, how many of you have a dog or a cat? I don't know about cats very much. But my mama used to have cats when I was growing up. And, you know, We had a big old yellow, he stood about this tall, big old yellow Persian tomcat. And he made friends with my dog, Mike, a border collie. I'm telling you the truth, this is the funniest thing in the world to watch those two. Mike would lure another dog. We had one of them porches that come around the house, and it was about 4 foot off the ground over here is the ground slope. And Mike would lure another dog in there. Boots, that's the cat's name, would jump off the porch on that dog's back and dig her claws in, and Mike would attack from the front. You never see anything like it. But I tell you what, it got where we hardly ever had a dog come around our yard. But they both knew their names because I see what they're doing. I'd go in there and yell, "Boots, Mike!" And they both would stop and come to me, and I'd get on to them for being bad. But there was a couple of times I didn't because the dog needed. I didn't like the dog because he tried to bite me. So I let them take care of it. What I'm trying to say is your animal knows your voice and will listen to you. That's what the scripture is saying. God is speaking, and are we sensitive to it? That's the important thing. Now, we got two Lynette. Well, they're mine too, but they're more Lynette's dog. My dog's Maverick out in the backyard, that 125-pound Great Pyrenees Mountain dog. He's a big old boy. But she has a standard poodle, Fergie. The red one is 13 years old. Stella, she's 4 inches taller than Fergie, and she's solid black, and she just turned two. Now, I just was bringing them in before we come to church, and I hollered, "Stella, come on," and she come right immediately. Fergie's over there smelling around. I had to yell about three times, "Fergie!" Had to get really loud. Yeah, and she licked her head up and finally she said, "Okay, I'm coming," and she come. You know, she's 13 years old. She decides she does what she wants to do. If she wants to mind, she minds. But when we hear God's voice, we need to immediately respond. Hello? Now, how is he speaking to us? He speaks to us through the Word. So you need, when you're reading the Word, just don't be reading it to be reading the Word. Be reading it to receive something, because the Word of God says that the Holy Spirit would speak to you and tell you things. And then, you know, he speaks through peace. When you're praying about something, if you get peace about it, he speaks that way sometimes. Sometimes he speaks through a check in your spirit. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And then sometimes he speaks through someone to confirm something, or an incident happens that confirms something that he has already been talking to you about. So many times we do not have our sensitive, maybe, system turned on. It may be turned off. Like I got a switch right here. And turn it back on, too, by switching this little switch. Sometimes we need to make sure our sensitivity to the voice of God is turned on and turned up loud. Hello. You know, you don't learn God's voice in the middle of chaos. You learn to recognize his voice through relationship. You know, a child can be in a crowded room, and a parent can come in and call their name, and they immediately respond. They hear their name. Hello. Why? It's not the loudest, but it's familiar. In the same way, we need to walk close with God so that we can recognize his voice clearly. Sometimes Somebody said, well, I wish God would talk louder. No, you need to get closer. Come on now. Sometimes we need to turn the noise of our everyday life off and turn the word up. And sometimes if you really, you hear and you think you hear the voice of God saying something, but you're not, it's not clear, it doesn't hurt to say, okay, God, what are you saying? I'm not getting it. Someone said, oh, you talk to God like, yes. How many of you call God your Heavenly Father? Well, if your father has talked to you and you don't understand, you say, hey, Dad, listen, help me here. I'm not quite understanding what you want me to do. Anybody ever done that? I have, but I hadn't done it in a long time because he's in heaven. But you see, it doesn't hurt to ask God. Sometimes people miss it because they know God's saying something, but they're not clear on it, so they don't do anything. Actually, it would be better to do something and make a mistake than it is not to do anything at all. Hello. Somebody said, well, yeah, you should listen so you don't make a mistake. But if you do, it's okay. Just ask him what he wants you to do and get on with it. Now, let me go to another point. Today is the day to obey without delay. Today is the day to obey without delay. James 1:22. Okay? James 1:22. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. You know, there's a difference between where you are and where God wants you to be. And you know what the correction is there? It's a word that a lot of people don't like to hear. Obedience. Obedience. You know, when you delay obeying what God says in his word, or if he's talking to you in your spirit, it creates confusion and usually slows progress. And it will dull your sensitivity. Why do I say that? Because when you become in disobedience, you step away from God. Therefore, it's like I said a while ago, you're having more trouble hearing what he's saying than when he's up close. You know, immediate obedience will give you clarity of direction and also will build momentum that unlocks your next step. Sometimes people do not move to obey because they can't see what the future is. Well, if you take a step, he'll show you the next step. Come on now. My dad always said, if you don't know what to do, take a step that direction. If it's not right, God will tell you, step back and step the other direction. You know, how many of you got a GPS? And you said, you know, most people do. If you got it, most people got it on that phone, they got that GPS. Well, what does that do? Gives you direction and talks to you and says, go straight for 7 miles and turn right or bear right, or bear left, or turn left. You know, what happens when you ignore the direction that the GPS gives you? You may eventually get there, but you're going to be delayed. But if you listen to the GPS, it will say rerouting, rerouting, rerouting. And if you don't listen to it, you just keep going on. It keeps saying rerouting, rerouting, trying to get you to go where you're supposed to go. Well, the Holy Spirit does the same thing. He keeps talking to you, and he keeps talking to you, and that's when you need to reroute with him, okay? When God speaks, respond. You know, that's how you walk into the possibilities and the opportunities of every day. All right, now, let's look at this. Today is a day to discern God's direction. Today is a day to discern God's direction. And we go to a scripture that all of you are probably really familiar with, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. How many of you have read that scripture many times or even quoted? I'm going to read the NLT. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do. He will show you which path to take. You know, one scripture says he directs our steps or our paths. He gives us direction of what to do. Now, let me say something. Not every door that opens is a God door. It may look good, it may feel good, it may smell good, but it's not a God door. Before you open that door, you better find out if that's what God wants you to do or not. Come on now, don't sit down on me now. I'm going to say another one. Every opportunity is not a divine opportunity. It may be good. It may be something that would be good. You know, many times people, many ministries sometimes, they have their own on what God's asked them to do. Now they try to get me involved in it. In fact, I had one minister get mad at me because I wouldn't get involved with his project. But that's not what God told us to do. He didn't tell us to go out all over the world, dig wells and feed hungry and so forth and so on. He said, get on the media. Back the first he said, get on the radio. Then I got on the TV. And then he said, put it in print. And then he said, have the school. Then he told me to start this church, and that's what we do. That's what I told the guy. I said, this is what I do. I said, that's what God wants you to do. But God was dealing with me one time. I was praying about finances, and he said, any time that you take your money, your time, and your talents, even though it is a good project and it might benefit the kingdom, if that's not what I told you to do, you're in disobedience. What I'm saying to you, you don't have to get involved with every project that somebody puts out there. They're good, and I thank God for all of the other ministries that have all the project that they've got going, because if we all do what we are asked to do and work together, look what we can accomplish. Come on now. That's good preaching, Pastor. You know, immature believers ask, you know, if some divine opportunity comes along or some door comes along for opening, and an immature believer says, is it wrong? The mature person says, is that what God wants? Come on now. See, you was really getting with it a while ago. Now I said something like this and you sat down on me. You know, discernment helps you recognize direction. It also helps you to realign or redirect. Now, you ever read the story of Samuel? Samuel was brought by his mother to the prophet, to the Eli, priest Eli. And one night, Samuel kept hearing his name called. And he would go in there and he said, you call it? Finally, he told him, no, I'm not calling you. Listen for God. And you see, you better understand and discern when it's God calling. How do you do that? Slow down. Quit pushing so hard. Some people are pushing so hard to be successful that they're really missing it. And follow peace, not pressure. Follow peace, not pressure. I tell you what, I'm this way. If I go in, I say I'm going to buy something, and they say, oh, man, you better do it today. They start with all that. I'll turn around and walk off. In fact, years and years and years and years and years ago, we were still doing tapes, and we had the big reels of tape, and you put it on the machine, and it had there, and then they put the cassette in, and it would load that cassette with that message, and then cut it off and put it on, dump it out, put the label on it, and dump it out. Well, my man in charge came to me and said, hey, listen, you can tell this was a long time ago, because we went from tapes to CDs, and now we're in the MP3s. So I guess maybe something new coming out pretty soon, because they gotta keep making money, and that's the only way they can do it, is coming out with something new. But anyway, he came and he said, listen, he said, the salesman just come by and he told me that, and this was about the 1st of December, he told me, he said, hey, in January there's going to be a price increase, and if you'll get a big order in now, I can get it to you, you know, before the price increase. And I said, Dale, have you checked with any of the other tape distributors? Well, no. I said, why don't you check around and find out if there's going to be a, because if one distributor is going up, they all got to be going up, because they're not going to go up otherwise, because they're going to lose business if they do. So he got to checking around. And he said, no. I got to checking with the industry. I checked out there, and there's no price increase that any of them know anything about. I said, Dale, you know what he was doing? It's coming up to the end of the year, and probably if he made a certain quota in his sales, he's going to get a bonus. How many of you salesmen know what I'm talking about? Yeah. I said, that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to make a deal. I said, why don't you tell him you're not interested? But we didn't buy from him, okay? You know, not pressure. Then every opportunity and every door that opens, make sure it's in line with God's word. And remember this, God leads, he doesn't push. God leads, he doesn't push. Now let's go to point 5 here. Today is a day for restoration after misdirection. Psalms 23:3. He restored my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He says, it's saying he will restore. You know, if you've heard God before but delayed and hesitated and maybe ignored it, and now you look back and you say, oh, if I would have just listened to God, I wouldn't be in this mess. Well, let me tell you what. God is a restorer. He's the God of a second chances. I got a little book. I did 3 sessions on God is the Master Restorer. It's out there in the bookstore. Get it and read it. You know, he restores when you miss it. He redeems lost opportunity. He turns wrong turns of direction into new opportunities for success. You know, sometimes you might have your phone and somebody calls and you miss it. And you say, okay, if they call again, I got to answer that. God will call again, not to condemn you, but to restore you. Stop replaying the past. Everybody's missed it. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your name is. I don't care how much faith you have. I don't care how long you've been filled with the Holy Ghost. Everybody misses it. So when you ask God to forgive you, it's done away with. It doesn't exist anymore. Move on. And stop pushing. I said this a while ago, but stop pushing. Just respond. You can say, I missed it then, but I'll not miss it again. Now, God just doesn't give direction. He gives redirection. Now, point 6, and I got 2 minutes. We'll see if I can get it. Today is a day to walk in purpose. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Another scripture we could put with that is Psalms 37:23. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their life. It says here, we're his masterpiece. His workmanship. God just doesn't restore you to make you feel better. He restores you so you can walk with purpose. Purpose is not someday. Purpose is what you do today. It's not waiting on God. It's obeying what God's word's already said. Some people say, well, I'll try to do better. No, purpose is proven by now changing. A light switch, you flip it on, and you got light. You flip it off, and you got darkness. That's what obedience is. You flip obedience on, and you clearly can see where God wants you to go, and what he doesn't want you to do. So, be faithful where you are. Be available every day. Respond to the small voice or to the nudge. God doesn't push. He just gently nudges. He doesn't yell at you. He quietly speaks. So, be quiet, listen, and obey. When you obey today, you step into tomorrow's purpose. Our today's is full of God's voice and direction, God's restoration, and God's purpose. Well, what's left? The question comes up. What is my response? Today is the day you respond to God. Heavenly Father, just talk to these people today for a few moments about that you are there every day to minister to them in whichever area that needs it. Help us all to understand that we are to take every day, the day that you've made for us, and do what we are called to do in that day. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, everybody stand up. Trust you got something out of that. I know I enjoyed putting it together, and I just trust it ministered to you. If you happen to be here and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, well, you can correct that today. Or you know what it is to serve God, but you messed up and got on a detour. You just need to come back and rededicate yourself to God. If that's you, as we're dismissed, the ladies are here, the men are over here, this is your prayer partners. If you'll come down here, they'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you walked in that door. If you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, as we're dismissed, come right down here. They'll pray with you about whatever it is that you need. Amen. Hey, find those first-time guests. We're so glad to have you with us today. And we want you to come back and just be a part of our family, especially if you're looking for a place to call your home church. How do we say again, church? Welcome home. Just come on back here. We're so glad to have you. If you happen to be visiting from out of our area, well, just make this your home away from home every time you're in our area. Hey, Sunday morning right here. Come expecting, come believing. It's first Sunday. We will be receiving communion like we always do, but also it's International Rhema Day. So everybody knows what we do on International Rhema Day. We pray for Rhema. And we bring a special offering for Rhema, all right? Shake hands with somebody and say, I don't know about you, but I'm going to make sure every day is the day I follow God. We'll see you Sunday. If you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, come to the front right now. They will pray with you. God bless.